Welcome to the PC Speaking Podcast series, Through the Bible in a Year, where we come together for daily reading and reflection as we journey through the scriptures. Let's dive into today's episode with Pastor Chris Miller. Sanctuary, faithful in the storm.
We're the empty spaces. Hello, and welcome to day number 96 of our Through the Bible in a Year reading program. Today we are reading from Deuteronomy chapters 25 through 27 and Luke chapter 9. We'll find Deuteronomy chapter 25 addresses various issues of justice, welfare, including regulations on punishment, ensuring that it is executed fairly without excessiveness. It also covers the Levirate marriage law, where a brother must marry his deceased brother's widow to maintain the family lineage, and laws against dishonest business practices. We actually see a place in the New Testament where Jesus is questioned about that family lineage law. Deuteronomy 26 describes the observance of presenting the first fruits and tithes as part of acknowledging God's provision and faithfulness. It includes a declaration to be made when offering the first fruits and tithes, recounting Israel's history and God's deliverance. Deuteronomy 27 commands the Israelites to set up large stones, cover them with plaster, and write the law on them upon entering the promised land as an everlasting reminder of God's commandments. They are also instructed to build an altar at Mount Ebal for sacrifices. And over into the New Testament, Luke chapter 9 includes Jesus sending out the 12 apostles, feeding the 5,000, Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ, and the transfiguration. It also includes Jesus teaching about discipleship, highlighting the cost of following him. And the chapter presents a turning point in Jesus' ministry, focusing on his identity, the establishment of God's kingdom, and the path of suffering that Jesus will endure. Let's go to our reading, Deuteronomy. Chapter 25, verse 1 says, if there's a controversy between men and they come to judgment and the judges judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. It shall be, if the wicked man is worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten before his face according to his wickedness by number. He may sentence him to no more than 40 stripes. He shall not give more. Lest if he should give more and beat him more than that many stripes, then your brother will be degraded in your sight. You shall not muzzle the ox when he treads out the grain. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead shall not be married outside to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother who is dead, that his name not be blotted out of Israel. If the man doesn't want to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up to his brother's a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. If he stands and says, I don't want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders and loose his sandal from off his foot and spit in his face. She shall answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. His name shall be called in Israel the house of him who had his sandal removed. When men strive against each other and the wife of one draws near to deliver her husband out of the hand of him who strikes him and puts him out of her hand and grabs him by his private parts, then you shall cut off her hand. You or I shall have no pity. You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, one heavy and one light. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, one large and one small. You shall have a perfect and just weight. You shall have a perfect and just measure, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For all who do such things, all who do unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Remember what Amalek did to you by the way as you came out of Egypt. He met you by the way and struck the rearmost of you, all who were feeble behind you, when you were faint and weary, and he didn't fear God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance to possess it, that you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under the sky. You shall not forget. It shall be when you have come into the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first fruit of all the fruit of the ground, which you shall bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you. You shall put it in a basket and shall go to the place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. You shall come to the priest who shall be in those days and tell him, I profess today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the Lord your God's altar. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian ready to perish. He went down into Egypt and lived there few in number. There he became a great, mighty, and populous nation. The Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs, and with wonders. And he brought us into this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, the Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the foreigner who is amongst you. When you finish tithing all the tithe of your increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the foreigner, to the fatherless, to the widow, that they may eat within your gates and be filled. You shall say before the Lord your God, I have put away the holy things out of my house, and also have given them to the Levite, to the foreigner, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all your commandment which you gave commanded to me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten of it in my mourning, neither have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor given it for the dead. I have listened to the Lord my God's voice. I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground which you have given us as you swore to your fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Today the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore keep and do them with all your heart, with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God and that you would walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. The Lord has declared today that you are a people for his own possession, and he has promised you and that you should keep all his commandments. He will make you high above all the nations that he has made in praise in his name and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God. He has spoken. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandment which I command you today. It shall be on the day when you shall pass over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up yourself a great stones and coat them with plaster. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have passed over, that you may go into the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, had promised you. It shall be, when you have crossed over the Jordan, that you shall set up these stones, which I command you today, on Mount Ebal, and you shall coat them with plaster. There you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use any iron tool on them. You shall build the Lord your God's altar of uncut stones. You shall offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. You shall sacrifice peace offerings and shall eat there. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all of Israel, saying, be silent and listen, Israel. Today you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God's voice and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. Moses commanded the people the same day, saying, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim, to bless the people. When you have crossed over the Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. With a loud voice, the Levites shall say to all the men of Israel, cursed is a man who makes an engraved or molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. All the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed is he who dishonors his father as his mother. All the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who removes his neighbor's landmark. All the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who leads the blind astray on the road. All the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who withholds justice from the foreigner, fatherless, and widow. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he dishonors his father's bed. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with any kind of animal. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who secretly kills his neighbor. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who takes a bribe to kill an innocent man. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who doesn't uphold the words of this law by doing them. All the people shall say, Amen. Over to the New Testament, Luke chapter 9. He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach God's kingdom and to heal the sick. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staves, nor wallet, nor bread, nor money. Don't have two tunics each. When to whatever house you enter, stay there and depart from there. As many as don't deceive you, when you depart from that city, shake off even the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. They departed and went through the villages, preaching the good news and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was very perplexed, because it was said by him that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had arisen again. Herod said, I beheaded John, but who is this about whom I hear such things? He sought to see him. The apostles, when they had returned, told him that things they had done. He took them and withdrew apart to a desert region of a city called Bethsaida. But the multitudes, perceiving it, followed him. He welcomed them, spoke to them of God's kingdom, and he cured those who needed healing. The day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding villages and farms and lodge and get food, for we are here in a deserted place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we should go and buy food for all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. He said to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. They did so and made them all sit down. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to the sky, he blessed them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. They ate and were filled. They gathered up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. As he was praying alone, the disciples were near him, and he asked them, Who did the multitudes say that I am? They answered, John the Baptizer, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the old prophets has risen again. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God. But he warned them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. He said to all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his own self? For whoever will be ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I will tell you the truth. There are some of those who stand here who will in no way taste of death until they see God's kingdom. About 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter, John, and James and went up onto the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became white and dazzling. Behold, 2 men were taken with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but they were fully awake. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men who stood with him. As they were parting with him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he said these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered into the cloud. A voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. When the voice came, Jesus was found alone. They were silent and told no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great multitude met him. Behold, a man from the crowd called out, saying, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only born child. Behold, a spirit takes him. He suddenly cries out, and it convulses him so that he foams, and it hardly departs from him, bruising him severely. I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they couldn't. Jesus answered, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. While he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him violently. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. They were all astonished at the majesty of God. But while all were marveling at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man will be delivered up into the hands of men. But they didn't understand this saying. It was concealed from them, and they should not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. An argument arose amongst them about which of them was the greatest. Jesus, perceiving the reasoning of their hearts, took a little child and set him by his side. And he said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For whoever is least amongst you, this one will be great. John answered, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him, because he doesn't follow with us. Jesus said to him, don't forbid him, for he who is not against us is for us. It came to pass, when the days were near that he should be taken up, he intently set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. They sent and entered a village of the Samaritans so as to prepare for him. They didn't receive him because he was traveling with his face set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from the sky and destroy them, just as Elisha did? But he turned back and rebuked them. You don't know what kind of spirit you are, for the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They went to another village. As they went on the way, a certain man said to him, I want to follow you wherever you go, Lord. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but you go and announce God's kingdom. Another also said, I want to follow you, Lord, but first allow me to say goodbye to those who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, there's a reading for today. Let's finish up with a few thoughts and meditations for the day. Consider the ceremony of presenting the first fruits in Deuteronomy 26, and how does the practice of gratitude and remembrance reveal itself in your life? Deuteronomy 27 emphasizes the importance of visibly remembering God's law. In today's context, how can we keep God's word at the forefront of our lives? Maybe some ways that we might be able to visibly remember it. And well, to remind us to remember it. Reflect on the cost of discipleship that Jesus talked about in Luke 9 that we just read. How does understanding the sacrifice of following Jesus impact your commitment to him? And if you'd like to take your study a little bit further today, here's an idea to do that. Delve deeper into what Jesus teaches about discipleship in Luke chapter 9 and compare that with other New Testament teachings about following Jesus. Well, that's our reading for today, and I look forward to speaking with you again tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on the PC Speaking Podcast. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Through the Bible in a Year. If you have found this helpful, please follow the podcast and share it with a friend. It is our hope and prayer that every episode helps enrich your relationship with God and His Word. Even if the drums stop beating, my soul